Philippians chapter 1, verse number 21. And we're going to read down to verse number 27. You find your place if you want to go ahead and stand if you're able to, and we'll read the scriptures. If you're not able to, the Lord understands that, I promise. But in Philippians chapter 1, verse number 21, it says this: "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor, yet what I shall choose, I wot not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." I want to preach this morning a message titled, "What Are You Living For?" Let's pray. God, I thank you, Lord, for your many blessings. And Lord, we thank you for the scriptures. And Lord, we stand today, Lord, just to give honor to the word of God and to understand that this is, Lord, the reason, this is the purpose, this is the authority. And God, I pray that, Lord, we would, Lord, not just be a hearer of the word today, but a doer. I pray that you'd speak to our hearts as only you can. God, I pray you just keep a hedge about this place. And Lord, I just pray your name would be exalted. In your name I pray, amen. Amen. Thank you and be seated. As most of you know, on Wednesday, my grandfather went home to be with the Lord, and it was I've stood with many, many people as they've passed away, many families, but of course, this one was different. Without a doubt, my grandfather was my hero. He loved the Lord. I talk about him all day. Was used of God to start 19 churches, counting Moraine Heights, and he just loved souls. His family, his children are serving the Lord, his grandchildren are serving the Lord, and you know, he ran his course. He, without a doubt in my mind, God says, "Well done" to anyone. He'll say that for my grandfather when he went to heaven. This past week, I went through his Bibles on Thursday, I guess it was, and going through some things, and I was asked by my grandma to write his obituary, and so I drove up on Wednesday and started working on that, actually before he passed away, and she had given me all kinds of materials, I mean just pages of things to look through, things that people had written about him, things that he had wrote himself, and at one point, I texted my sisters and said, "I'm the emotionally unstable guy sitting in the coffee shop that everyone's worried about," because I sit there for, it took me about 3.5 hours to go through everything and to write that out. But it was an honor to do so, but boy, what a life he lived. When I went through his Bibles, me and my sisters were at their house on Thursday, and I was flipping through some of his Bibles, and in the front of every one of his Bibles, he had little lines written numbered 1 to 48, and none of it made sense, and just had just a fragment of a sentence. And finally, I figured out those were all of his jokes he told everywhere he went. He had them all numbered, and, you know, like one of them, half of them, I don't think he could get away saying in 2020, just every one of them, I caught on because I started remembering a few of them. It said, "Riding the quarter horse outside Kmart." I was like, "Oh, I remember that one." You know, and that's all it said, things like that. Everywhere he went, and half his jokes weren't funny, but you laughed at him because he thought they were. He preached some great messages. Last time he was here and preached, he preached a message called, "Will the Circle Be Unbroken?" about the importance of continuing and passing on things to your children. Probably one of his best sermons I ever heard him preach was one called "One Greater Than Solomon," which takes a passage of Scripture and compared Solomon with the Lord Jesus Christ. Preached a series of messages on a royal invitation. He preached many messages on the cross and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And You know, he did. I read in my devotions this morning in the book of Titus in chapter number 1 that a preacher has a responsibility to make manifest the Word of God. The word make manifest means to make clear, to draw a picture, to present it, and to bring it out. And few could do it like he could do that. And, I use that as a springboard today because I know what he lived his life for. And it makes you think a lot. So I ask you the question this morning, what are you living your life for? What is your purpose in living? I remember I made quite a few hospital visits with my grandpa, and he would get up. He always liked doing his hospital visits before staff members ever got going. So he'd get up at 6:30, be at the hospital at 7, and he would get in the elevators. And every time you ever rode in an elevator with him, he'd always get in. He'd say, "Going up," and they'd ask him what number. But before he got off, he'd always stop and look at everyone in the elevator and say, "This is where I'm getting off. But someday, I got to ask you a question. When you die, are you going to go up?" And people at halftime look at him weird. But I can't tell you how many people he's led to the Lord in his life using illustrations like that. He used to say, "Only one life will be passed. Only one life will soon be passed, and only what's done for Christ will last." What are you living your life for? What is your purpose today? In this passage of Scripture, it tells us what we should live for. Now, I want you to see this real quick, just 3 points. If you look down in verse number 21, what we read in Philippians chapter number 1, it says, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor, yet what I shall choose, I wot not." The number one thing that every one of us ought to decide, if you haven't decided so, I hope you'll decide today, that every one of us, you ought to live for Christ. You ought to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. It says again in verse number 21, Paul said, "For me to live is Christ." Now, I hope you'll stay with me this morning, because the fact is this, if you get this first point, everything else will just fall in place. If you decide that I'm going to live for Christ, if you get this right, then everything else will just make sense. But unfortunately, as Paul said here, "For to me to live is Christ," today we live in a world today that a lot of Christians even, sadly, but obviously a lost world, will give something like this: "For to me to live is pleasure. For to me to live is wealth. For to me to live is power. For to me to live is prestige. For to me to live is sports. For to me to live is my hobby. For to me to live," I don't know how you answer that question, but the only thing that's ever going to bring you fulfillment in this life is to be able to say as Paul did, "For to me to live is Christ." When you get that right, then nothing else is really going to matter. A person that doesn't live their life for Christ, one person wrote it this way, I don't know who did it, I just wrote down the quote because I thought it was good. He said, "A person that doesn't live for Christ, quote, his youth is a blunder, his manhood is a struggle, and his old age will be regret." And that's truly the epitome of anyone who will not live for Christ. But friend, if you'll decide today that I'm going to live my life for the Lord Jesus Christ, I have never in my life, now I've been doing the very, when I surrendered to preach, 16 years old, that next Tuesday, I was sent by my pastor to go to the nursing home and to preach. He said, "If you're called, then go start doing it." And I went and I preached about a 5-minute sermon. Don't you miss those days. And I preached a message there at the nursing home. And ever since, I've always been involved in nursing home ministries. I love them. We do 4 every week here. I enjoy them. Every time I walk in, I think of the scripture that says, "Snatching brands from the fire." Because there's many people that don't know the Lord that are nearing their time of death. And if we can win 1, 2, 3, or 4 or more of them, praise God for snatching a brand from the fire. But when I went there, I've met all kinds. I can't even begin to tell you the number of elderly people towards the end of their life that I have had conversations with, but I've never met one of the thousands of thousands. I've never met one that lived for God and regretted it. anybody look at me and say, I wish I wouldn't have given the Lord my life? Stop and ponder that. I've heard many say, I wasted my time chasing a paycheck. I've heard many say, I neglected my family for my own self and hobbies. I've heard many say, I've got a big bank account, but I'm so empty inside. But I've never met one that ever said I decided to follow the Lord and had regret that. Because that is our purpose. For me to live is Christ. Can you say that today? Can you honestly say today, my life is all about living for the Lord Jesus Christ? He goes on in detail and talks about it. I want us to see a few points in this. That number one, our purpose should understand that that is His sovereignty. It says, for to me to live is Christ. When we understand that my life is all about Him being in charge. And that's not just found, that's found all throughout the scriptures. Keep something right there. Look back over in Revelation chapter number 4. Just glance there with me. Just go to the right a few pages. In Revelation chapter number 4. Look with me in verse number 11. In Revelation chapter number 4 and in verse number 11. Because if you miss this, you miss life. If you miss this, then you're going to live a life of frustration. But in Revelation chapter number 4, someday when we get to heaven, we're all going to sing God's praises. Won't that be a wonderful thing? It says in verse number 11, verse number 10 talks about the 24 elders who fall down before Him, they begin to worship Him. Verse number 11 says, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. Can I tell you something this morning? The primary purpose of your life, the reason why you breathe today, the reason why you were created, the reason why you ever drew life is to bring glory and praise to the Lord Jesus Christ, to bring pleasure into His name. And until you decide to do that with your life, you're going to live a life of frustration. You're going to live a life of unfulfillment. You're going to live a life of just feeling like something's missing or something's wrong because you're not fulfilling the purpose of your creation. You and I were created to bring glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. Many times people ask me questions, being a pastor. In the last 2 weeks, I wrote down all the things I've been asked in the last 2 weeks. I ain't making any of this up. I've been asked in the last 2 weeks, can you as a Christian, and I've been spending a lot of time with nursing homes, hospitals, and people, oh, you're a pastor. Other places been and talking to people. And I've had these questions in the last 2 weeks. So as a Christian, are you allowed to drink? Are you allowed to smoke? Are you allowed to dance? Do you go to movie houses? Is there certain things you can wear? Can you dye your hair? What music do you listen to? Can you get a tattoo? Do you ever take drugs? Do you buy a lottery ticket? How high is a skirt allowed to be? Can you get piercings? What color shirt are you allowed to wear? Do I have to wear a tie to church? Now, all those in the last 2 weeks. And there's nothing wrong with any of those questions. Glad they ask. Now I'm going to answer every one of them with this answer. When you decide that my life is just about bringing glory to God, it makes all those things easy. When you understand your purpose in being created, because answer any of those questions and all the thousands more that people will ask, that's just in the last few weeks, by simply saying this, who are you doing this for? I decided what to wear this morning. The reason I put on what I put on is because who am I doing this for? Certain places I didn't go this week because of who I'm living for. Certain things I shouldn't say because of who I'm living for. Certain ways I act because who I'm living for. When I get this settled in my life, that my life is just about bringing glory, for to me to live is what? That's the way it should be. For to me to live is Christ. when I just decide that my life is about, and the problem is this, and when people want to argue, no matter what fill in the blank argument they want to do, it's because they want to do it. And they never want to discuss, well, does it bring glory to God? Well, then it's usually responded with this answer, right? You know, I got in this conversation with somebody about buying a lottery ticket, right? I don't gamble. As a Christian, we shouldn't be involved in gambling, right? The Bible says you should work for what you get. The Bible says that those who seek great riches, in other words, you're trying to get it and find the easy way out, there's a curse there. We'll preach on that later because obviously you need that, right? All right, but, all right, so I don't gamble. We're to be wise stewards with the money that we have. By the way, you say, well, if I hit the lottery, it's going to be worth it. Let me tell you what the lottery is. It's a tax on stupid people. That's what a lottery is. Because someone's making millions and millions. You say, well, someone won millions of dollars because they won tens of trillions of millions of dollars from people that were stupid enough to give it away. Anyways, I'll go on because I know you don't like that. All right, all right. Well, are you allowed to do that? Well, I just want to live my life for the glory of God. So God says a certain way I should live, so I want to live that way. But is it a sin? That's not the question. The question is, can I glorify God in this? And when you decide my life is about glorifying God, you say, well, I just don't agree with it. That's fine, but guess what? I'm settled in my life. I'm going to bed sleeping just fine at night. You're the one that's all upset about it. Because you're not fulfilling the purpose by which you were created. Amen. You see, understand, for to me to live is Christ. When our desire is just to bring glory to the Lord, it's not what can I get away with. Your attitude is not, when my desire for to me to live is Christ. I'm not trying to find every loophole in the Bible. I just want to do what brings Him glory. Amen. And then you find fulfillment. And then you find joy when you recognize that He's my master and I just want to live that way. And listen, death comes knocking to every one of us, and a life that is lived righteously will have no regrets. 100% of the time. So you see here, to me to live is Christ, so my purpose is His sovereignty, and the prize is our salvation. Look in verse number 21, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Now I'm not saying you work in order to get to heaven, I'm saying this, that when we get to heaven, it will be worth it that you lived a holy life. To die is gain. If you gain something more, that means you already had something to start with. I'm not saying you're doing something to get salvation. You're saved if you trusted in Jesus Christ. But to live a life that is just for Christ, there's gain there. Say, what kind of gain? Well, we're going to have a better habitation one day. We're going from ground to gold. Isn't that a wonderful thing? We're going from ground to gold. I picked up one of my grandpa's books that he wrote, and I was reading it last night, and I think I posted a picture of it. You know, he talked about, he had the whole chapter, he talked about when he was a kid growing up down in Kentucky, that literally he wore potato sacks as socks and shoes. I told the kids on the bus this morning that his mom took a giant flour bag they'd buy once a year, and she made shirts out of the flour bag. He said, but someday, when I get to heaven, he said, I'm going to have a robe of righteousness, custom made for Travis Hudson from the Jerusalem company of something, he said, President Jesus Christ. And the fact is this, that someday we have a much better place we're going. So knowing what God has prepared for me, why would I not want to live a life that would please Him? There was an old man that was dying one time, and his son was standing next to him, and his son looked at him and said, Daddy, is it hard? Is it hard to die? And his daddy opened his eyes and says, there's nothing to die in, son. It's the living that matters. You can't die the death of a righteous until you live the life of a righteous. On Wednesday, we were standing there by my grandpa when he passed away. My grandpa hadn't talked since Saturday. And on Wednesday, my mom leaned over and she said, "Dad, the next time I see you, we'll be praising God together." And he said, "Yeah. Yeah. Yeah." The last words he said, "We're going to praise God together. There's coming a better habitation. To die is gain. When we die, it gets better. Amen. When we die, we have a better habitation. We have a better congregation. No offense, but you're a bunch of sinners. And you have a pastor who's a sinner. But when we get to heaven, we're all going to be saints. We're not going to have any sin issue. Isn't that a wonderful thing? I mean, I came to church today and I still had to lock the door when I left. Matter of fact, I even got a camera face in my office because there's some people around here I don't trust. All right, you know, it's truth. Just kidding. All right, yeah, sort of. All right, yeah, all right. But the fact is this, right? We know we have to understand even it. Well, no matter what in this world, we're surrounded by sin. We're surrounded by the curse of sin. We're surrounded by people that love to sin. There's people that love to hurt you. There's people that love to take from you. But someday when we get to heaven, we're going to be around everybody who's perfect. To die is gain. There's a better habitation. We're going to go from ground to gold, a better congregation. We're going to go from being around sinners to saints. There's a better illumination. Right now, the sun is shining. S-U-N. But when we get to heaven, the sun will shine forever. S-O-N. Amen. There's no, my cousin was preaching the other day, and he said in heaven, he said, you know, when the Lord is the light of glory, there won't even be shadows. Isn't that a wonderful thing? There won't even be shadows. Praise the Lord for that better illumination. Praise the Lord for better habitation, better congregation. And I'll just go on with saying this, we'll have a better vocation. Right now, we spend all our time trying to get pennies. But someday when we get to heaven, we're going to spend all our time just praising Him. What a day that's going to be when my Jesus I shall see. You see, our purpose is His sovereignty. Our prize is His salvation. The plan is my surrender. That's why Paul said in verse number 22, he says, "But if I live in the flesh," he said, "right now I'm in this flesh. This is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I wot not." That's an interesting phrase, but what he says is this: right now I'm in the flesh, and it don't matter what I want to do. For me to live is Christ. What I would choose, who cares? For me to live is Christ. Paul understood this very important thing, that while we live in this flesh, and right now we all do live in this flesh, our will should be totally surrendered to His will. If you could stand today and say, "Yes, I surrender all," and mean it and live it, then you will fulfill your purpose in life. What are you living for? We need to live for Christ. When we get that settled, we'll be able to, verse 23 and 24, to live for our companions. "For I'm in a strait betwixt two," Paul said, "having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better." That's gain, amen. "Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you." Paul said, "I'd love to go home right now. I'd love to be in glory right now. I'd love to see my Savior right now. But God has me here for a purpose. And that purpose is you." Notice the phrase, he said, "it's more needful for you." I thought about that. You and I told my Sunday school class this morning, I just remind them of something they've heard before. We're only here to point people to the Lord Jesus Christ. God loves us, and we, the purpose we were created was to be with Him and to praise Him and to fellowship with Him forever and ever and ever. So why, after our salvation, are we left in this sin-cursed world? To point people to Him. When we get settled in our life, for to me to live is Christ, once that gets settled and my life is just His, it's not my will, I'm just going to glorify Him, now our focus will be on the right thing, that I am here and I am needed for other people. Now, why is it needful for me to invest in other people? Because it's needed that they be shown the Savior. You and I need to point people to the Lord Jesus Christ. He says there again in verse number 24, nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. He said, I have a purpose here, and that's to point people to the Lord Jesus Christ. I asked my Sunday school class, I'll just ask you a simple question. How many people did you point to the Lord this week? I'm not saying did they get saved. That was not my question. Only God can save a soul. Our job is not to convert. Our job is just to point people to Him. The Holy Spirit does the converting. Some of us are planting seeds. Some will water seeds. Some will see God bring the increase. But it's all God that does that. But our job is to point people to Him. Through the words of our mouth, to a tract being handed out, to a life lived that shows a difference. That's all. It goes back to that first point. That's why you have to decide for me to live as Christ. Because I'm worried about my will and what all I can get away with and what all I can do to make me happy, then it muddies everything else up. Because my life should be lived in a life that people can see Christ in me. And see a difference. You as a believer should stand out from a dark world. And it's needful that we show people the Savior. It's needful that we show people what satisfaction is. What joy is. It says there in this passage of Scripture, I'm a strait betwixt the two, I have a desire to depart, but which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you, and having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith. More people needed to be saved. He said, so I'm staying here. More people need to realize the joy of faith. Believer, our life should be an example of the joy and the satisfaction of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not saying we don't have time to weep. I've wept this week, and I know you have too. I'm not saying we don't have hard times. We do. It's part of living in a sin-cursed world. But even in the midst of that, there should be a joy in our life and a confidence in our life that a lost world can look at us and say, boy, there's something inside of them that I need in my life. Our life, man, we ought to have a song on our lips. We ought to have a joy and a smile on our face. We ought to live a life that people look at us and say, what are they so happy about? There ought to be a joy in your faith. So there's no joy in my faith. Then you didn't get the first part right. You haven't decided for to me to live as Christ. Because if you get that right, the joy is going to be there. Because that's the Lord for to Paul. Jesus said it himself. He said, my prayer is that my joy might remain in them. You understand, if we're living and dedicated and our life's just about bringing glory to Him, that joy will follow. So I'm just being blunt with, if you're sitting there and you're all discouraged and you can't ever get happy, you need to go back and get number one right. And decide, my life's not about me, my life's just about bringing glory to God. I mean, you get that right, everything else will happen too. But where it's needful, well, the reason why we get saved, God doesn't just take us to heaven, is because we're needed here. God wants to use us here. Show people the Savior. Show people what satisfaction and joy is. to show people what sanctification is. Verse 27, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel. Your conversation is your lifestyle. Your life ought to show a difference in Christ. Amen. Our life ought to point people to Him. So we need to show people the Savior, show people joy, show people satisfaction, and show people love and sympathy. It says there, to keep reading, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Paul showed, he said, all I want to hear is that you're doing well. He loved them. This world needs love. And we as Christians should be that love they're looking for. So why are you living for? We ought to be living for Christ. Then we get that right, we'll start living for our companions. And thirdly, and I'm done, in verse 27, we'll be living for that great commission. It says there again, only let your conversation be as becometh the gospel. When we get those first two points right, then we understand this, that my life should be all about pointing people to His grace. My life should be all about pointing people to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. My life should be all about trying to build relationships with people so that they can know the Lord Jesus is their Savior. We should have consistency in our life that points to His power. It says that you stand fast in one spirit. In other words, our life is not a roller coaster in church, out of church, in church, out of church, on fire, cold. We ought to stand fast. In other words, be dedicated and understand it's a testimony of His great power. And our unity ought to point people to His purpose. In one spirit, one mind, striving together. Every one of us in this auditorium decided today, my life is just about living for Christ. Then we're going to realize how much we're needed to reach the people around us. And we're going to understand what the Great Commission is all about, bringing other people to Christ. Paul said it this way, what is my crown, my joy and rejoicing? Is it not you, the presence of the Lord? Paul understood that life is all about, when we get to heaven, pleasing the Savior and bringing people to Him. There's an old prime minister in England. His name was W.E. Gladstone. One day, this young man came up to him. He was young and zealous, and he said, Mr. Gladstone, can I share my future plans with you? The Prime Minister of England said, sure, son, go right ahead. He said, Mr. Gladstone, I plan to study law. Mr. Gladstone said, good. What then? Well, Mr. Gladstone, I then want to gain entrance into the Bar of England. Mr. Gladstone said, good. What then? Well, sir, I hope to have a place in Parliament one day. Very good. What then? Well, I hope to do great things for Britain. Mr. Gladstone said, very good. What then? Well, I hope to retire. Take life easy. Very good. What then? The boy looked at him and said, well, I suppose that I will die. Very good. What then? He said, well, I suppose I hadn't thought about that. Mr. Gladstone said this, then young man, you're a fool. You need to go back and rethink your life. What are you living for?